Well, the Abbott government is vowing to fight on with its university reforms after its higher ed deregulation bill was defeated last night in the Senate. The Education Minister, Christopher Pyne, will bring a revised higher education bill into the lower house, the House of Reps, this morning in a second bid to cut Commonwealth funding by 20% and uncap student fees. But will the government have any better luck this time around? Crossbench senators have been critical of the minister's negotiating tactics. The Palmer United Party's Glenn Lazarus says Christopher Pyne has been, quote, harassing him with text messages, virtually begging him to pass the reforms.
Well, Senator Lazarus is the only crossbench senator who's refused to meet with me to discuss these reforms. So he's the only avenue he's left to me to be able to communicate with him, besides letters, has been SMS. Now, once I saw that report, I hope you didn't mind the fact that I sent him a Christmas card today, Lee. I'm sure he won't, but I'm happy to keep talking to Senator Lazarus. Oh, I would have sent him seven or eight texts, and I was happy to send him more texts.
That's Christopher Pyne, the Education Minister, speaking with Lee Sales on 7:30 last night. Well, Glenn Lazarus is the leader of the Palmer United Party in the Senate. Senator Lazarus, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Have you got your Christmas card yet?
not yet, but I won't hold my breath either.
Oh, well, I think it's probably coming. You heard the minister there say he had to send you seven or eight texts because you refused to meet with him to discuss the legislation. Why? Why did you refuse to meet with him?
Well, a couple of reasons. The first one is that the government wasn't prepared to budge on the deregulation. They weren't prepared to budge on the 20% funding cut. And secondly, as soon as I would have granted him a meeting, it would have been all over the press that I've opened negotiations to maybe voting for the higher education. I just did not want to portray that in the media so people would think that I was going to change my mind, and I just sort of made it perfectly clear that I wasn't going to vote any other way except no.
And so people listening to that and looking on would think, oh, well, has he really given this due consideration? I mean, this is a very significant change in the higher education sector we're talking about. Why wouldn't a senator take the time to talk to the government about what they're proposing? You know, what's your response to that?
Well, I'd say that I've spent a lot of time on this bill. I've spoken to vice chancellors of various universities. I've spoken to student union groups from various universities. I've actually spoke very early in the piece with Christopher Pyne's staffer, outlining what the bill was about and what they wanted to achieve with it. And so after all that, at the end of the day, the bill, if it passed, I think would discourage young men and women of Australia to pursue education through a university, and I just didn't want to be a part of that.
I really want to come in a moment to talk a bit more about your concerns about the bill, but I think the nation's a little bit intrigued by the texting and the so-called harassment. Christopher Pyne says he's a good minister who worked very hard to try and achieve important reform. What were those texts like? Give us an example, will you?
Oh, he was just highlighting the point that I was the only crossbencher that refuses to talk to him, and he was prepared to negotiate and so forth, and yeah, that sort of thing. It did sound a bit desperate at times, and look, I can fully understand that he would be, and the government would be desperate to get the higher education bill through, but like me, a lot of the crossbenchers just felt that it wasn't right, as I say, anything that discourages young men and women to seek a further education, I won't be a part of.
Glenn Lazarus, you're pretty new into the Parliament. In your short experience in the Senate, I'm wondering what you're making of how the government is negotiating, because I noticed your fellow crossbencher, David Lionhelm, he's been unhappy with it. He says the government doesn't consult enough. He likens it to a teenager who only speaks to a parent to ask for money or borrow the family car. How would you describe the experience more broadly, beyond just the texting?
Well, yeah, look, I think they got a tough job, because I think, particularly with the budget measures, there were some fairly nasty announcements there. And unfortunately, well, in my eyes, a lot of the announcements and decisions that they make are cuts and not really suggesting how they could benefit the wider Australia through some good policy. I think they're certainly approachable. They're certainly willing to talk and so forth. But I think the amount of legislation is the issue, particularly for the crossbenchers. We just don't have the resources that the major parties have, and it is quite a task to get through all the legislation, particularly this time of year when they bring out the program for the day, and then the first part of the business of the day is to change it. So it becomes a little frustrating and a little confusing, but very frustrating. But as far as ministers and their staff, the availability for them to brief us, they've been very good with that, and I must say they've been very helpful in that area as far as I'm concerned.
It's 6 to 7 on breakfast. Glenn Lazarus is our guest. Senator Lazarus, the higher education bill was aimed, the central aim of it really was to place tertiary funding on a more sustainable footing. That's why the vice chancellors were supporting it, and I'm sure they argued that point to you. The minister is going to reintroduce it into the lower house today. He's going to take on board all those concessions that he negotiated yesterday to try and get support from people like you. He's going to take away the increase in the HECS interest rate. He's going to change all of that, add some hundreds of millions in for structural adjustment. Yeah. Is there anything the minister could do to this bill to gain your support?
Well, as I said, if it's got any indication of cutting funds to the universities and the deregulation of university fees, which will then give the potential to increase university fees, I won't be voting for it. So I'll be very interested to see. Christopher Pyne, I think a good minister. I think he's a nice guy, but as I said, I just think and feel that if there's anything in there that will discourage. I mean, I've got three children. Two have just graduated from university. They have HECS fee. They have debt. I'd hate to think that debt could increase by 20, 30, 40, 50% or whatever the case may be, because they will be paying those HECS fees off over a number of years, which will affect some of the decisions they make. And I just don't feel as though the young people of Australia need that added burden.
And Glenn Lazarus, can I ask you more broadly, the Palmer United Party, it's still a fledgling party. It's had a bit of a rocky start. You've already lost one member. There's a fair bit of attention on your leader, Clive Palmer, at the moment for some of the work he's engaged in outside of Parliament, and he faces a number of court battles. Does that concern you to have a leader of your party in the courts contesting some pretty serious claims and allegations and charges?
Well, it's a distraction for him, obviously. Not necessarily for me and Dio. We've made a point not to get involved with Clive's personal dealings. As I said to you before, there's just so much legislation about at the moment. We need to try and get through the workload. And look, I'm not sure that'll work itself out. As I say, we don't speak to Clive too much about it, and I don't really want to get involved with that. So,
but isn't there some point where it's incumbent on you to understand whether your leader is sort of operating within the right side of the law? Does it concern you at all?
Look, as I say, I don't want to get caught up in what Clive does that side of the politics. I just don't have time, to be honest. That's about it.
Can I just ask you briefly then, on a matter of legislation, I understand Clive Palmer has been talking to the Immigration Minister and others about the migration bills coming in. Mm-hmm. Is the Palmer United Party going to support that in the Senate?
Well, we're going to support it if we feel as though, of course, we negotiated a deal with the government earlier on in the year with the Chev. Visas. We think it's a very good amendment, and I think it'll get. I think this is the migration thing is a massive issue. I don't think it's been dealt with very well over the years, and I think it's something we should start dealing with. And I think these Chev visas will at least get some people off Christmas, and particularly the children. I think it'd be great to get the kids off Christmas Island for Christmas, and I think that the Chev visas will do that. It'll give these people an opportunity to contribute to the country, to integrate into the community, and sort of start their new lives. So if that all is clear in the bill, I would suggest to you that Palm United will vote for it.
Glenn Lazarus, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
My pleasure.
Glenn Lazarus is the leader of the Palm United Party in the Senate.